Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
So, please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you. We magnify you. Lord, I'm asking God that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 18 through 22. These scriptures I'm going to be reading out of the New Century Translation. I know we all have King James, but we're going to go to this translation just in these scriptures right here. Let me know when you're there. Amen. And the Word of God reads. Here we go. Oh, make sure you have your cell phones turned off, your fax machines and scanners. Here we go. I've entitled this afternoon's message, God Loves Righteousness. God Loves Righteousness. As I shared, the states that I visited, it was a dichotomy. It was like light and darkness right before us. When we were on the West Coast up in Seattle, it was very, very dark. Very, very dark. And I'll share as we go along. But then when we were in Idaho, it was very, very light. It was night and day. The people there in Idaho, most of the people that have transferred from California to there, many of them had gotten dreams to leave California to go to Idaho. When I was in Arkansas, the same thing. And then I spoke to a realtor in Tennessee at the conference. He says the most influx of people are coming in from California. What is that saying to us here? What is that saying to us here? And then on realtor.com, you can go there, you can Google search that. 30,000 since January 1st of 2024 have left California. 30,000. And they're leaving in a type of exodus that we can't comprehend right now. But I truly believe God is expecting something from us as His people, as His children, that we would let our light shine so bright. He may not call you to another state. He may not transport you to another, but guess what? He wants to use you right where you're at. He wants you to shine with the righteousness of Christ. And so let's go to 1 Peter and let's get with this study and let's allow the Holy Spirit to have His way. Amen? And here we go. Verse 18. Christ Himself suffered for sins once. He was not guilty, but He suffered for those who are guilty to bring you to God. His body was killed, but He was made alive in the Spirit. And in the Spirit, He went and He preached to the spirits in prison who refused to obey God long ago in the time of Noah. God was waiting patiently for them while Noah was building the boat. Only a few people, eight, were all saved by water. Wow. You know, we don't know how many people that were in Noah's day, but only eight were saved. For 130 years, God told Noah to build a boat and tell people to come into the boat because God was going to flood the earth because it was so wicked. It was so dark. Look at verse 21. And that water is like the baptism that now saves you. Not the washing of dirt from the body, but the promise made to God from a good conscience. And this is because Jesus was raised from the dead. Now Jesus has gone into heaven and is at God's right side, ruling over angels, authorities, and powers. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that God is in total control? Did you know that God did not lose any sleep over all of our shortcomings? Brother John, God didn't sleep on you. He was just allowing your body to get some rest and then woke you up. Saints, it is difficult to comprehend the significance of our times. It really is. When we went out for ice cream in Seattle, there was three of us. I couldn't believe what we saw in the midst of us. Every other person that was in that street at night was like a transgender. And God was speaking to me. He goes, "This is what Sodom and Gomorrah looks like." And I was like, wow. I was overwhelmed. Because I'd never been in the midst of that ever before. It was all kinds of debauchery everywhere. You could see all kinds of drug dealing, everything going on. And I was saying, okay, God, cover us with your blood. Cover us with your blood, God. Yes, downtown Seattle. You would think that, you know, go Seahawks and all that. And it's, no. It was very, very dark. God was showing me the depravity of man. And so it's hard to comprehend our times. When we analyze contemporary conditions against history, saints, so many things have changed exponentially. Changed. And yet we do not find the things that are unordinary. To me, growing up, that was something that was unordinary. That wasn't how we grew up. That wasn't Father Knows Best days. It wasn't Leave It to Beaver no more. It was like I was in a time capsule and I was in another planet or something. Because I never seen anything like that. It was very harsh. Now I want you to consider the changes. I need you to consider this right up here. So I'm going to go look at the screen right here. Number one. For thousands of years, humankind never exceeded the speed of a horse. The speed of a horse was 40 to 45 miles per hour. Not only do we speed down the interstate in our automobiles, but astronauts now travel at 17,000 miles per hour in the space shuttle. And all that has happened within 150 years. Up until then, it was horse and buggy. Look how fast everything has sped up. Why not thousands of years ago it was like that? But now, 150 years ago, something changed. Fast and quick. Look at this. For thousands of years, weapons of war were limited to a few war machines that could throw things, break down walls, and so forth. Most battles were hand-to-hand combat. You remember the gladiator days? Braveheart? It was just man on man. One man could kill only one man at a time. Today, one nuclear blast could kill millions instantly. Look at this. Only a few years ago, homosexuality was considered an anomaly and looked upon as grossly perverted. Today is celebrated by many as something to be admired. Wow. Look at this. Number four. The proliferation of internet pornography and other media venues has caused our society to lose the ability to blush. When's the last time you blushed? You know what the word blush means? It's like, oh my. When's the last time we blushed? The movies we see now, it's so violent. We've come accustomed to it. We're numb. Look at this. Number five, the epidemic of illegal drug use makes the days of prohibition seem so real. My brother, I shared this before. My brother, he's an investigator for the DA's office. He's been in law enforcement all his life. He was born a cop. He came out of his mother's womb, our mother's womb, with a badge on. I have five brothers and six sisters, and when we would play cops and robbers, he was never the robber. But he told me the number one crime in San Diego right now are the tunnels that they're finding coming from Mexico to here. They're finding them almost every week, a new tunnel, a new tunnel. And we think drugs are going through there, weapons. No, it's sex trafficking. I'm just keeping it real. I'm keeping it real. Because churches don't want to talk about this, and yet it's going on right in front of them. Yes, we want to pray for the Holy Ghost. Yeah, we want to praise Him, get filled, filled with joy, and leave the place. And yet the world around us has fallen. And are we reaching other souls to get saved? Are we sharing with others about getting right with God? I know this is harsh, but if we don't speak it, who will? Number six, there was only one divorce at 30 at the turn of the 20th century, and now it's one and two. Some are even predicting that marriage is becoming obsolete. By the way, I was so privileged to do your wedding. Come on. There's no trading in no more, right?
That's right. Of course.
And there's some in our midst that are soon to be married. Who are they? Oh, no, I'm not going to give it away. Look at number seven. The explosion of computer technology is amazing. We find our daily lives changed by notebook computers, iPads, iPods, iPhones, GPSs, internet, telecommunications, Facebook, Twitter. Instagram, and many other high technology breakthroughs. Now, instead of driving over someone's house, we text them. Now everything's a text. Be careful when you receive a text. You may receive it in a wrong spirit. How dare them? And guess what? They hit a wrong digit. And now you got offended for no reason. Look at number eight here. Doctors are transplanting hearts, livers, and other organs. New drugs are prolonging life for many. Yet new diseases are cropping up that defy medication. There's some things that doctors don't have a clue. But because I'm a practitioner, try these and try this. And call me in the morning. Look at number nine. Innovative technology has caused traditional careers to evaporate. Employees now must plan to change their occupation two or three times in a lifetime. Flipping a burger now is $20 an hour. $20 an hour. Lord have mercy. But this is the most startling one, what I'm going to show you. And this is why we need to pray for our nation. How many believe we need to pray for our nation? How many believe? Okay, let me just ask you this. We all believe Genesis to Revelation? Do we believe the full counsel of God? Do we believe the judgments of God that have taken place to remind us who God is and how He judges and what He does. Because Jesus said, I change not. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. Can I get amen? We may change our mind. We may change our perspective. We may change our hearts on certain situations, but God changes not. He is the same. And this last one is very, very troubling to me. It should be troubling to you. Before I go to this next little point 10, how many of you love life? Huh? Some of you have brought your grandchildren in here. Some of you brought your children in here. I know every one of us in here love life. But this is what brings judgment to a nation. And I need to say it in love. God does not drape the American flag over His shoulders. God judges all nations. Can I get amen? All nations. We're not excluded. Over 70 million babies aborted just in the U.S. alone. Their blood would fill the Lake of Michigan. As we all been studying and reading, before Israel was taken into captivity, before the Babylonians came and destroyed their temple and took them all away, the last sin, the grievous sin, was they were throwing their babies into the fire. And don't you think we're accountable for this? Is the church crying out? Because the pulpit is the only voice now. Once the pulpit dies, no one else in the country is going to be crying aloud. It's going to be void. We're the last flickering hope. No generation has seen so much rapid change like ours. Even those who do not believe in God or in the Bible should wonder, where are we going? You ever spoke to an unbeliever? Man, things are radically happening. That's a great opportunity to share the gospel to them. Yeah, Jesus said this would happen. And share your faith with them. It's as if we are running on a cosmic treadmill and it's getting faster and faster. Things are moving so fast. Like I said, 150 years, we can go to the moon now. We can travel over 17,000 miles an hour. Come on. You see, my friends, the prophets of God are warning our country and the world that God will be changing this world of ours real soon through judgment. It's going to happen through judgment. Look, these guys right up here. Perry Stone, John Hagee, even our own friend up there, Donald Perkins, Jonathan Kahn, Mark Biltz, who I'm going to show you what he discovered this Friday, Jim Baker and Billy Franklin Graham. They're all warning the nation to repent, to turn to Jesus. You know how much money Franklin Graham is spending? Because he's on Channel 10. He has a little 30-second spot. Have you given your heart to Jesus? They're sowing. They want people to get saved. This is a time to get saved. Can I get an amen? Amen. You see, saints, this message will evolve around a man that God saw tremendous faith. And that man was Noah. Noah was a man that for 130 years believed God. And when we were in Tennessee, I missed the first day there. I had to stay back because my friend went on to in glory. And he said, before I die, because when I die, will you preach at my service? And I stayed back. But Sister Yolanda and Sister Catherine, they went to Noah's encounter in Kentucky. And they saw this replica. It was so huge. And many people go there every day to see, to be reminded When you see Noah's Ark, don't look at it like children's stories. Oh, and all the little pretty animals and everything. No, that was a sign of judgment. And that was what saved only eight. We just read only eight were saved out of millions that were there. None, they all laughed and they mocked. How many people do you know right now that laugh and mock at the things of God? And so, number one, Noah found grace. No one saw grace. Look, Paul wrote to the Roman church right up here as I go through now. Romans 9:14. So what should we say about this? Is God unfair? In no way. God even said to Moses, I will show kindness to anyone to whom I want to show kindness, and I will show mercy to anyone whom I want to show mercy. This is the sovereignty of God. We are here because God chose us to be here. Can I get amen? You're not here on your own volition. I'm saying not in this church here. I'm talking about your walk with God. God called you out of darkness into what? His marvelous light. Some of you maybe got saved a year ago. Some of you 30 years ago. For me, it was 35 years ago. But I just didn't walk into a church, I'm going to get saved today. No, God called us. Can I get amen? God called you.
That's right.
To be a light to the nations. Look at this in verse 16. So God will choose the one to whom he declares to show mercy. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has shown you mercy. You know why he's shown you mercy? Because we all deserve death.
Yeah.
We all should have been on that cross. But God said, I'm going to die for those whom I'm going to show mercy on.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow, look at that. His choice does not depend on what people want or try to do. The scripture says to the king of Egypt, I made you king for this reason, to show my power in you so that my name will be talked about in all the earth. Praise God. See, God wants to be glorified and magnified and high and lifted up in your life, in your home, so that you can show your children, your grandchildren, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. And many of you, I know personally, you guys love your children. And so continue to do what God's called you to do, to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Some of you just got little newborns. Right, brother? You got a newborn back there. Continue to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Continue to sow righteousness and watch them blossom. Watch them grow, loving God, praising God. That's right. Saints, sparkling like cut diamonds on black velvet, Noah's righteousness shone amid, despite of all the wickedness, and drew the eye of God because of his faith. Did you know that your faith is what moves the hand of God? Your faith in him? Your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, that's right. Look at this. It says it right here in verse 8. God, look at it. So God shows mercy whom he wants to show mercy, and he makes stubborn the people he wants to make stubborn. Wow! Did you know that? There are some people God hardens their heart. Why? Because all they do is just have something negative to say about God. But Noah was a just man. Look at this. It's found right here in Genesis 6:9. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. God is saying to us today, just keep walking with him.
Amen.
Keep loving him. Keep walking with him. And he will shield us. He will watch over us. Even in the midst of darkness, because we live in a time of darkness. The darker our world, the brighter God's people shine for him. I hope you know that. As Noah's generation saw the light of God's righteousness through Noah, our generation also see God's righteousness, what? In us, in you. Oh, that's right. Look what Matthew wrote right here. Let your light, say that with me. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Praise God. You see, righteousness attracts God. Did you know that? When you choose righteousness, you're attracting God to come a little closer to you. Oh, that's right. I got the word to back that up. Look at this. It's found in Proverbs. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against those who cause shame. Did you catch that? When you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, when you're doing your best to honor and walk with him, that's when he draws what? Close to you. And he will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Look what Luke wrote in the book of Acts right up here in Acts 10. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." Did you catch that? This is not Pastor Fee rambling up here. This is God's word. God accepts you when you choose righteousness, when you choose to do good, when you forsake the darkness, when you get those dark things out of your life. Every one of us battles with darkness. There's things that come up. Sometimes they just rear their ugly head. And that's when God is saying, bind it, rebuke it, get rid of it. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Jesus, help us. Thank you, Lord. Look at what it says here in 1 John. In 1 John. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Look at this right here. Verse 29 is the key verse. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. So when you're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, you tend to do what's right. Can I get an amen? It's almost like automatic because the Spirit of God lives in you. He has driven out the darkness. And now you gravitate to him. But the question is, for those who are watching on Facebook and YouTube, those who may be here, if you still love dark things, you got to ask yourself, is the light engulfing me? Am I filled with all that God has for me? Because if you're playing with darkness, you have to question, where am I spiritually? Where am I? Help us, Jesus. God is looking for sanctified people, set apart for his goodwill and purpose. If you want to be used by God, let the darkness go. Pursue righteousness. Pursue holiness. For without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. God loves sinners but abhors their sin and wants them to repent. We're not casting out sinners. God said, you know what? He loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. God loves the righteous because they trust in his grace and they strive to please him. Did you catch that? Strive. You know what strive means? It's an onward going, even through the faults and failures. Even through our mishaps, we're still striving. Did you know that when you get born again, through all your mistakes, through all your shortcomings, you're still striving to be with him. You're still striving to honor him and glorify him, even with all the boo-boos in your life. And many of us have boo-boos every day. Can I get an amen? Nobody's perfect up here. But he's saying, strive. Strive unto me. Keep going. Don't throw in the towel. And if you've messed up, just confess it to me. God will cleanse you and wash you. He never gets tired of forgiving you. Do you know that? How many so blessed to know that? He's not the God that says, that's the last straw, I'm done with you. No. He knew the junk that was in our trunk before we got saved. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's hope for us. There's hope for us. There's hope for your loved ones. Yes, there is. There's hope to the people you know in your life that may not be walking in life, but there's hope for them. Keep believing God for them. Can I get an amen? Wake up in the morning and say, God, I lift this one up to you, God. I lift up this one up to you, God. Oh, God, let it be this day, oh, God. Have mercy and grace. You see, when you're crying out to God for grace and mercy, guess what you're saying too? That's for me too, God. That's for me too. God provides everyone the opportunity to find His grace, which can lead them to repentance. Look at this right up here in 2 Peter 3:9. Look at this. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering. You know what long-suffering means? He's so patient with us. I need to ask this question. How many of you are so thankful that God's been patient with you? I'm glad I was not the only one that raised up my hand. But He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. Praise God. Look at this. Noah, he built that boat to escape. And guess who is going to allow us to escape? Who is it? Jesus. The ark became the vessel of salvation from utter destruction. God wanted to destroy mankind because it was so wicked. The Nephilim was there. And they were wicked. They were the fallen angels that came into the daughters of men. And out came a generation of wickedness. And God said in His heart, I repented that I made man, and I'm going to destroy them all. But then God just said, you know what? Noah, build an ark. Those who get in the ark, I'm going to save them and start the human race all over again. Saints, you don't know how close we are for that to happen again. We're very close now. But this time it won't be by water, it will be by fire. It took years to build such a ship with crude tools of that day. As the project slowly took shape, Noah's notoriety must have spread far and wide, and they were probably laughing and mocking at him. It never rained here. What's this guy doing? He's lost his marbles. He's sipping that night. Well, come on. Many of them had ridiculed him, and they mocked him. Today, Jesus is our vessel of salvation now. He is our ark. Can I get an amen? The way they probably mocked Noah, people are mocking Christians today. Do you know people that mock the Lord? Oh, yes. But look what Peter wrote for us. Peter wrote this for us right up here. Look at this. In 2 Peter 2. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies and deny the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves what? Swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of the truth will be what? Blasphemed. The truth is blasphemed. Today now, this is what the people say. Well, you got your truth and I got mine. Okay? So you got your own truth. But we know who is the way, the truth, and the life. Look at this, number three. Look at this right up here. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. That's a deceptive word. Well, you got your truth. Well, I got mine. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to to be reserved for judgment. Look at verse 5. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of what? Righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those after who would live ungodly. So what this is saying is, today there are people still living ungodly, but what happened then, God is showing you, showing us, that it's going to repeat itself again. Why? Because we serve a righteous God. We serve a God that is righteous. Yes, He's merciful. Yes, He's loving. Yes, He saves. But then He also has to judge. Can I get an amen? He's a God that will judge. He's not coming back as the little baby in the manger. He's coming back as a roaring lion. He's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's coming back as a man of war. I hope you know that. Have you read Revelation? He's coming back as a man of war. And He's coming back against those who have mocked and ridiculed the Jews and the Christians. Can I get amen? Don't come against Israel. That's His coveted people. And right now, in real time, right now, this whole nation, the colleges, everything is now anti-Semitic. We're seeing what Jesus said, what would happen right before He returns. He said that Israel will be all alone. And now U.S. is withdrawing their help. Let me just say this. I should have brought it and should have showed you the document. But William Koenig wrote a book called Eye to Eye. You need to get the book. You could Google, it's on Amazon. Eye to Eye. Remember, Eye to Eye by William Koenig. He has over 2,500 documented incidences. When we open our mouth to come against Israel, God sends remedial judgment right away. Remedial judgment means something within 24 hours. He brings it. And the day Biden said, we're going to withhold our arms, we're not going to send Israel any more arms, that same morning, a whole bunch of tornadoes formed and went through the Midwest. The same day. As soon as He spoke it. I'm telling you. If you're not in tune with what's going on, you're going to miss everything. My. I was praying for my family in Arkansas. It was just slightly south, that whole place. How many people got wiped out? How many people got died? Listen, waking up and your house looks like a whole bunch of toothpicks piled up on each other. This is real life. This is someone's home. And it happened to believers and non-believers. I'm telling you, saints, we're living in these times. You see, Noah, he followed God's plan to the T. All God is saying is, you know what? Stay true to Him. Continue to love Him with your whole heart, soul, and mind. Continue to praise Him and worship Him. This worship team this morning was giving Him all the glory. Amen. Sister Dana, you were giving Him all the glory. Because that's what God created you to do. He created you to be a worshiper in your mother's womb. A heart of David to worship.
My salvation planned almost 2,000 years
ago. That's right. That's right. 2,000 years ago. He already planned out your life. He's planned out your life. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Oh, yes, He has. And so we see this in Genesis 6:22. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Can we say, so did we? Can we? Look what Isaiah wrote right up here. Look at this. Isaiah 1:19. If you become willing to obey me, you will eat good crops from the land. But if you refuse to obey, and if you turn against me, You will be destroyed by your enemy's swords. The Lord himself said these things. Did you guys catch the news yesterday? Guess who was in China yesterday? And they're up to something that's going to be pretty radical. President Putin was in China yesterday. And did you know that off the Gulf, off the coast of Alaska, they're having war games up there? Why? Remember the weather balloon that came by? Remember that balloon that started from the west? It went all the way down to South Carolina? They were taking photos of where our nuclear plants are. I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to say, God, help us. God, remember us. Remember your church. Remember those who love you. Be with us, God. Because God's going to judge when he's going to judge. And when he brings it, it's gonna cause many people to fall on their face and cry out to God. Someone's going to have a paradigm change on their face plant to God. And they're going to remember when we told them, turn to God, turn to God, turn to God. I had to bring this message because something radical is in the works. And I sense it in my spirit that we need to be quickened about it. We need to be up. We need to be alert. We need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Can I get amen? You see, Jesus set the example by his own obedience and became the way of escape for our lost condition. Oh yes, right up here in Romans, look at this. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That was Adam. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. So Jesus was the second Adam. Can I get amen? And guess what? Jesus had us in mind. And now we have the righteousness of Christ by faith. God accounted righteousness unto us now in the day that we live in the midst of darkness, in the midst of turmoil. God is with us. How many are convinced that God is with you? He's with us. He's with the church that was here moments ago. He's with the church that's in front of Rancho Hills. He's with all those that love him. Can I get amen? God is everywhere. And he knows those who are his. And he's crying out for those to get right with him. To find him. To search him. To cry out for him. Sometimes you got to toil for him. Sometimes you have to press through. Sometimes you need an all-night prayer movement. Sometimes you need to just sit before him and cry out to him. Can I get amen? God will show up. You desire him, he will show up. As a preacher of righteousness, not only did Noah serve as a construction worker, but he also preached to anyone who would listen. I don't care what your profession is, but preach Christ and him crucified. No matter what you do in life, if you're a homemaker, if you're an accountant, if you're a realtor, if you're a nurse, home caregiver, it don't matter. Preach the word in season and out of season. Be convinced that God will use you no matter where you are at. God will use you, and he'll use you mightily. And there was hope for all of us. Hope. When Noah finished his task, anyone could repent of his or her wicked lifestyle and join him and his family on board the ark that would save them from the wrath to come. But only his family believed. Look at this. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Did you know the preaching of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing? You try to tell someone, yeah, God died and rose again. And people that don't know God, they're looking at you like, what kind of fairy tale is this? How can a dead man save me? It's foolishness to them. But to us, he quickened us. He gave us ears to hear and eyes to see. He allowed us to come to him. Amen. And I remember when he opened up my eyes, all I saw was the cross, and I ran, and I gravitated to the cross, and I didn't want to let him go. All those years, people were preaching and telling you need to repent, you need to, God, you're going to get thrown into prison, you're going to get caught, this, that, and that, and I would laugh and mock at them. But when God did that miracle, I haven't let go since. And you haven't let go since. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. You see, Noah escaped God's judgment. Praise God. Did you know that we're not appointed to wrath? Did you know as a saint of God, God's wrath will not be upon us? How many believe that? How many believe that when God finally judges, the wrath of God won't be upon us? Well, where does it say that? Right up here. 1 Thessalonians. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Encourage one another. Jesus, hallelujah, is coming to get us and take us home. Jesus, thank you, God. John, the wrath of God is not upon you. But God's gift of salvation is for you. Hallelujah. He didn't allow you to perish, my brother. He didn't allow you to perish. Because he loves you. I need you to know this. I need you guys all just point your hand toward John. God, we thank you for his life. We thank you, God, that you spared his life. We thank you, God, that there is more life for him. And God, I pray, Lord, blessings upon him. Lord, the healing that you've done, complete it from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Oh, God, and I pray, Lord, that you would give them just ears now to hear and eyes to see that Jesus is the one that will save him and deliver him unto glory with all of us in the name of Jesus. Come on, give God a shout of praise. You see, Noah believed God of all his warnings. Are we believing God's warnings? This little message this morning, is it reminding us that God is good? That God is faithful? But that God will give us truth? By faith, look at this. In Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of the household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Wow. Look at that. Noah. Moved with godly fear. And this is what I love about the church. The born again church. Us. It's found right up here. Jesus said it best in John 10. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. I give them eternal life. And shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one's able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Because I and my Father are one. Hallelujah. Are one. And as we come in for a close, Noah made sure his family would be saved. Have any of you made a difference in your sphere of influence? I need to ask you this question. Do people in your family know you're saved? I'm hoping you sound like a broken record to them that just keeps skipping and going back, skipping. Remember the old vinyl records? You had to give it a little budge to move on. Yeah, but it would always go back to that verse or whatever it was, wherever it was scratched. Don't let that scratch go away. Can I get an amen? Hold on to that scratch. Allow God to use you in mighty ways. Let people know that there's hope, a mighty hope. I'm hoping that this message will resonate in our hearts so that we can remind ourselves how good, number one, God is, how much He loves us, but how much He loves those that don't know Him. Did you know He loves them too? He doesn't want to destroy them. He wants to save them. But it's going to take us to plant the seed of hope and righteousness into their heart. And I'm going to close in 2 Corinthians, and then we'll pray. In 2 Corinthians, 1 John, sorry about that. No, here we go. 2 Corinthians 5:11, look at this. Since we know what it means to fear the Lord, we try to help people accept the truth about us. God knows what we really are, and I hope that in your hearts you know Him too. This is in the New Century Translation. Look at verse 12. Since we know what it means to fear the Lord, we are not trying to prove ourselves to you again, but we are telling you about ourselves so that you will be proud of us. Then you will have an answer for those who are proud about the things that can be seen rather than the thing that's in the heart. If we are out of our minds, it is for God. If we have our right minds, it is for you. Verse 14, look at this. The love of Christ controls us because we know that one died for all. So all have died. Christ died for all those who will live and would continue to live for themselves. He died for them and was raised from the dead so that they would live for Him. And that's why we're here. We're living for Him now until He comes for us. How many of you can honestly say, I love my Christian life now? How many can say, I'm so glad He saved me? I'm so glad He delivered me. I'm so glad that someone gave me a track, or maybe someone preached to me, or someone planted a word in me. I'm glad for my grandmother when I was a baby that she used to always pray for me. I'm glad for so many things. We are glad for so many things. And maybe, just maybe, right now, you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, and maybe you've never given your heart to Christ. I don't know. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you. And as the worship team comes up, maybe you've never given your heart to God. Or maybe you're being reminded how good God is. And now God is saying, open up your heart. Let me in. Allow me to come in. Jesus wants to take residence in your heart, your life. He wants to heal marriages right now. He wants to heal children right now that have gone astray. He wants to do the things that you cannot do in your own strength. You need a supernatural move of God to complete the task right now. And so by faith, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me right now. So if you're here or watching, I'm going to ask that you would bow your heart and your head and pray this simple prayer by faith. I need you to know this. The prayer don't save you. Prayer is a tool that God has given mankind to communicate with Him. Jesus is the one that will save you. Cry out to the Lord Jesus and pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise to the house. Come on, is He worthy? Is He worthy? Listen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.